Hey everyone, this is Anthony Fleming, Senior Pastor of Church Alive, praying that this message is fresh, real, and powerful in your mind, your heart, your family, every part of your life. If you enjoy these messages, subscribe to it, share it with a friend to build their faith. God bless you as you lean in to the power and presence of God's Word.
Repeat with an Australian accent during prayer. I do every time. I don't know if y'all hear me, but I definitely do the Australian thing. It's the only time I feel like I know how to do it, but trying to be more like you, babe.
But when you sing, you don't sing with an accent.
That's because I'm professionally trained.
Okay. I didn't know if the accent was fake.
It might be. So I just put it on, guys. I was born in Newark, New Jersey. No, just kidding. So Pastors Joanne and Eric are with us. Honored to have you guys. We've known these guys over 10 years. They've been a great friend to our church. One of our closest ministry friends and churches has been True North Church. We've learned a lot with them. We've gleaned in a lot from them. They have over 30 grandkids. 33 grandkids and counting. Eric was one of 11. They had 8 kids themselves. And so where God said, be fruitful and multiply.
They took it seriously.
They said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we did. And now, they continue to do it.
Now we're moving to the next phase of that, taking dominion.
Yeah. South Jersey, never the same.
Hey, I just, before we get into the talk here, I just want to say, you know, don't take for granted what God's doing here. And we tell it to our people. If you've been through the state of New Jersey, there's not a whole lot of churches that have this. And I could say maybe if we could count them on one hand, that might be even pushing it. So listen, there's revival sweeping across this nation. It's here. Yeah. You don't have to go any other place.
Yeah.
Enjoy what God is doing here.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, one of my prayers honestly has been that the revival here would be a family restoration revival.
Good.
That's really what I've been believing for and praying for at men's prayer and so forth. We're going to start off with a passage of scripture. How many love the Bible?
Yes.
Proverbs 9, verse 1 to 6. Even if you're discovering the Bible, it's got more wisdom than you think. And verse 1, we've been talking about pillars. Someone say pillars.
Pillars.
Wisdom has built her house. She set up its 7 pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She's created this incredible environment for a party. And then she says she sent out her servants and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come eat my food and drink my wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways. This is what we're doing. We're learning and gleaning from relationships. And it says, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. We've just been talking about pillars as a church family together, and we've been talking about the pillar of prayer. Someone say prayer.
Prayer.
We talk about the pillar of honor and the pillar of character and the pillar of actually discovery. And really today, we're just going to unpack some of those things and add another layer to it. You guys have been married how long?
43.
43 years.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is going to shock my wife. May 26th will be our 44th year.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know the day.
I didn't think I remember that day.
He just did that for this service.
I rehearsed
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
you practiced in between services.
Yes.
Look it up.
We've talked a little bit about pillars and how to build it, and one of those was the pillar of honor. What does honor look like on a daily basis over 43 years of marriage?
Should we say first what honor is and what it's not? To dishonor someone is to treat them as common,
yeah.
right? So when yeah. you've been married a few years and get used to each other and you yeah. sort of get in a rut, you lose the awe that God gave you a precious gift in your spouse. Yeah. And we hear often that people fall out of love. No, you didn't fall out of love. You stopped honoring each other.
Yeah.
You stopped placing high value on each other.
Yeah.
And so on a daily basis, I think what that looks like in a relationship is how you talk to one another, right?
Yeah.
Pastor Miriam was sharing before that, especially wives, we can be the kindest people to anyone, especially in the grocery store, people we don't know. And yet at home, we struggle with being kind and patient and loving.
Yeah.
And but that's where it needs it the most, right?
Yeah.
So that, to me, that's showing honor just in the little things. It's the little things of how you, your tone of voice, being patient with each other, kind, yeah, encouraging. Encouraging.
So yeah, honor is placing high value on someone or something. Joanne had an uncle who was in the military, captain in the military, and even Uncle Carl as well, New York State guy. And anytime someone would walk in a room, he would get up.
Huh.
And I,
especially
while,
women, if a woman,
especially a woman came in, he would get up, and it was actually a way of signaling honor to that individual.
Wow.
And there's some things that we can pick up, you know.
Yeah.
So that placing high value on, yeah, your spouse or the person you're in a relationship to.
Yeah.
You know, when my wife comes through the door, I say, man, look at that woman. Mm. You know, and I do verbally tell her that as well. So I'm placing that high value on her,
yeah,
because she's a gift that, mm, was given to me.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
I'm filling her love bank.
He is, yeah, very encouraging. He's full of compliments. I get, mm, compliments all day.
Aww. Awesome.
Come on.
Took me 40.
So 3 years ago you started
figure
that.
It out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Don't,
yeah,
give up.
That's
on,
right,
us women. Don't give up.
We're, yeah,
doing, we'll get it sooner or later.
We've talked a little bit about actually last week how opposites often attract and then opposites attack. How have you guys navigated your different personalities in honor? Have you done that? I'm sure not perfectly, but how have you navigated one another's differences?
Well, I think just men and women are wired so differently, and I think that's something that we both have to understand. We have to understand that, you know, that men have certain emotional needs, and one would be affirmation, mm, sexual fulfillment, and I would say affirmation again for me, but so, you know, a woman doesn't really need sexual fulfillment like a man does, but they need that affection. You need that communication. So there are things that I have to learn as a man that even though we're different, I've got to fulfill her emotional needs, and she has to honor my emotional needs as well.
Yeah, that was a really big point in the beginning of our marriage that I didn't realize. I had not had any teaching on marriage, and I just thought, what is wrong with him the way he thinks? Like, why like, why does he think that, the way he processed things and thoughts, you know?
Mm.
And then, but this is where marriage teaching is so important and so critical.
Yeah.
We started hearing all this incredible teaching on marriage, and they explained how a man's brain is so wired so differently than a woman's and why they think the way they think. You know, they compartmentalize everything. They're in one box at a time, where a woman's brain is all over the place,
yeah,
all over
it's
the
like
time.
It's like a river that just flows. Now, you know, we can, yeah, substantiate that biologically, that when a little boy is like 7 days old, there's these testosterone that's released in his brain, and it actually severs the neurons, and it separates the right and the left part of the brain.
Wow.
Where the woman, it never separates. So a woman, everything flows. So when I come into a place, I've got everything compartmentalized. It takes me a while to figure things out. So I have a box for my 40, you know, for my job. When I come in, I pack that box away.
Mm.
Then I have another box when I come home.
Mm.
I actually have I had a box for my mother-in-law too, because that's its own box.
That's great.
And that's great. And then, but none of the boxes can really touch each other because it's, you know, we have this thing going. But I've learned over time to kind of try to flow between the two parts of my brain.
Yeah.
So we are different, but that's the beauty of a, yeah, relationship.
I used to think something was wrong with Anthony, too, because of all the boxes. I'm like, I could do everything all at once. And he's like, multitasking is a facade. It's a myth. You can't do it. And so, yeah, now figured it out.
It is a myth. Listen to a TED Talk.
TED Talk is not the
real
thing.
This great box, and it's called the Nothing Box. My wife can say, what are you thinking about? What are you looking at? And I'm just saying, nothing.
And we're probably thinking that's not possible.
That's right. And it is. Yeah, we have one.
Yeah.
It's a big box.
I'll notice my wife, she's like, oh my gosh, she was so busy, say, one day. And she was like, I always think about this person all day. I was like, but you were so busy. How are you thinking about this person all day? If I'm busy doing something, I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm busy doing. Okay. Yeah. Let's go.
True.
Yeah. But if you don't understand those differences, it can cause so much friction and conflict.
Yes.
And you start praying for your spouse to change and be more like you, when that's not going to happen.
That's right.
It's just how God wired them. And I think when you can really just grasp, this is how God made them. Mm. They can't help it. And they probably think the same about us, you know, that we're talking constantly. And, you know, they have to put up with hearing our conversation.
And sometimes when you're intimate, how can they think about the kids? And I'm like focused. She's flowing.
Okay, rabbit trail.
We're in North Jersey. They say you can talk about anything up here. So
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, really good.
But true, right?
Yeah. All right, second question here. One of the pillars we're really desiring for couples to build in our church, whether single, dating, married, it doesn't matter really the stage, is the pillar of prayer. How does that work in your personal world? Is that a lot together? Is that a lot separate? What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, well, you have to start with your own relationship first.
See, I got to get out of my box. She jumps right out of it. She's flowing back and forth. I'm still trying to process the question.
The last question.
Go ahead, honey.
Yeah.
The last one.
But anyway, we've always had our own time together with the Lord, and then there are times where we'll get together and pray. It's not a regular daily thing. It's we'll pray for needs of our children or our grandkids or needs of the church, or if someone just calls us and say, "Hey, there's an emergency. Could you pray?" We'll just, no matter what we'll do, we'll stop what we're doing and we'll agree together in prayer. And it doesn't have to be long but that's basically how we do it. We really need our time alone with the Lord first.
But I think that's something where women have to have a little patience with the man, because women are, they're again wired differently. If you come into a worship service, women are, you know, it takes 2 seconds and they're, you know, they're in with God. And like, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. And so it takes me a little while. And so too with prayer.
Yeah.
We feel intimidated as much as we are the male, you know, the strong guy. Inside, they say that men are much weaker emotionally. You talk about suicide rate four times as much for the man, is because we can't deal with a lot of stuff. So women, have patience with us as we pray. Lead us on, encourage us. And it'll happen over time.
Yeah.
Start small, right?
Yeah, start small.
Yeah, start really small. And I think I'd love to piggyback on that. Like, if your wife, a woman, seems to be a bit of a prayer warrior, ladies, and you're praying for like 19 minutes and then he's praying for 30 seconds, it just feels like there's this disconnect. But just pray together for 30 seconds each and 30 seconds each. And then when you want to go long, go by yourself. I even tell men, prayer, like, it doesn't need to be a sermon. It's not a 9-minute prayer you're praying for someone. It's 30 seconds to a minute of your best as you pray over someone. And I do think men actually get intimidated, weirdly, by that. And so, anyway, that's a good point.
Yeah, like, for me, if I don't have my own prayer time, my own quiet time before I, you know, face the day, it's almost like I don't have enough love sometimes, or patience. Like, that time alone helps me encounter everything else for the day.
She needs help, people. She needs help.
No, but seriously, so even Anthony and I, same as Pastor Joanne and Pastor Eric, we don't have this, like, every day we pray for 30 minutes together, you know, whether it's at dinner time or if there's specific things, like, you know, different friends in our world, like, they call for prayer, me and Anthony will stop what we're doing, grab our hands for 30 seconds and give God our best for that couple or for that situation, or as a family, you know, that's when we pray at dinner time. It's not our devotional time. I know a lot of people make dinner time the only time they pray, so they're praying for the president, the tenets and all the different things like that. That's not the time for that. Yeah. You're boring your kids and like their, you know, their food is cold. But yeah, time alone, time, private time,
yeah,
and prayer is so essential because it does something to your heart and it gets your heart ready for the day, gets your heart ready to love. And
yeah,
and yeah, that's,
and one of the things my wife and I have done over the years is just say, hey, babe, I feel like the Lord's saying this to me. What do you think of that? And that we bounce that off one another. It's actually a safe place to test the Lord's voice. Scripture tells us to test it. And with one another, we test it. And then months later, sometimes, it's like, yeah, that really was Jesus. And it was
clear.
And
we're even teaching our kids to do that now. We had like such a big win this week. We had a big decision to make with our son, and you know, he's only 14, but we're like, Ben, we want you to go grab your journal and we want you to, you know, think about this decision, seek God on it. And whether it was like a praying moment, but it was just a moment for him to go on his own, think about something,
yeah,
then come back to us. And we really believe he made the right decision. And as parents, we're like, yeah, wow, we're so proud that we're teaching them how to think critically, yeah, teaching, yeah, them to pray, teaching them to seek God, write things out. And so teaching them and modeling them, yeah, modeling the way to them, your children, is so important as, yeah, well.
No, it really was so good. Mm-hmm. Were there, you've been married 43 years. Were there hard seasons in your marriage? How'd you guys get through that?
There again, until we really understand how different we were wired. And mm-hmm, I think it's always, you want to change your spouse. My wife wanted me to be, you know, someone that I wasn't. Mm. And I tried to be that person. I just couldn't do it. But I think recognizing the differences, but also honoring the way God wired your spouse.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, those thoughts.
Yeah, I think it, when you have conflict and problems, we're all selfish by nature,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We're broken, selfish. We come into marriage even for our own benefit. Most, yeah, of us get married because it's going to be a blessing to us, right?
Yeah.
And then we realize that, wow, this is the most refining process God could ever put you through.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And as you stay close to the Lord, he starts revealing to you the areas in your life that you are being selfish and you're not honoring.
Yeah.
And so I think over the years, that would be where we butt heads, where he was maybe selfish in one area and I was selfish in an area. And then we learned over the years to recognize each other's needs. That's really important. Not just the way you think differently, but God has wired us differently to have such different needs as men and women.
Yeah.
And when we could honor each other in our needs and compromise, we started learning to compromise and be kind to each other.
Yeah.
It's a growth process. So no matter where you are, don't get discouraged or give up, because every relationship is a process and it's a growth. But as you stay close to the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit, he will really direct your path in that.
Yeah, really good. I spoke actually a little bit last week on some of those needs. How have you learned to try and serve one another better? Is that a prayer thing? Is it just reading over time? Is it a podcast? Is it just moments where you realize you were selfish, you had to look in the mirror? Because I actually find some of the most life-changing conversations of my life are the ones I never wanted to have.
Talked about prayer time, how important it is to pray, and also pray that you'll be sensitive to the needs of your spouse.
Yeah.
And God will show you things in her,
yeah,
that you're missing.
Yeah.
And I think with that, you know, praying and then all of a sudden just taking a step back and just watching my wife, how she works with the kids, how she works with the grandkids and different things. If you want to really see your wife get excited, just say, hey, honey, could we pray together? Guys, you want to fill a love bank. You know, just saying it, because that's important to my wife. And also putting maybe the kids, the needs of the kids, and now with our grandkids, you know, I have a little thing where I have a list of all my grandkids and I pray for every one of them. And I know that's important to my wife, but all of a sudden it's become real important to me as well.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think knowing what excites your spouse,
yeah,
is very important.
Yeah.
And it honors them.
Yeah.
I think that was important for me too over the years. You know, it used to be much like, hey, this is what's important to me. This is what's important to me. And then it's almost like he only really started listening when I started listening to what was important to him. And so as I started valuing what was important to him, like his family, actually Bev is coming Friday. We haven't seen her in a long time, yeah. My mother-in-law. And we're so a lot of you won't know her, but she's one of the most incredible women in the world. She's incredible. But as I started to learn what was important to my husband and what made him come alive, then I just started noticing just the relationship in general. Then he was like, oh wait, she sees what I need. She sees the things that, you know, sometimes we think for women, you know, for men, it's just sex, but you guys are built way more than just that, even though that is very important to you guys. But as I started to understand what was important and what was valuable to my husband, and then he started coming alive, then the way he loved me and made that home for us just went up to a whole nother level.
Yeah, beautiful. Hey, let's shift gears for a bit. Maybe talk to single people for a minute. What's been the best advice over the years to single people to find someone compatible to marry?
I'll explain how. When Joanne and I first met, you know, she said she might be interested in me, and I was a greeter at the door, you know, because I figured if God was going to send my spouse, I wanted to be the first one to see her before the other guy saw her.
And so, where's the first impression team?
There's going to be a lot of sign-ups today.
Yeah.
First impression people, team. First impressions, so be a connector.
Let's go. If you're single. So anyway, she was going through with a relationship with a Christian guy from New York City. Right there, it was bad.
Come on. Hey.
She went to college in Staten Island. So I was dating another Christian girl, and it was bad. So I said that to this, that just because someone is a believer does not make them the right person.
That's right.
In fact, our statistics in the church, the Christian church for divorce, are just as much as outside the church. So what makes it different? And I would say this, that you got to just serve God and serve him wholeheartedly. Mm. And the lane that you're running in, if you look to the right or left, probably your spouse will be in that lane.
Yeah.
In other words, they're serving God with all their heart. They're serving in maybe a particular field that you are.
Yeah.
And so it's important, because if there's differences, I mean, we counsel couples that never talked about having children until after they were married.
Yeah.
One wanted children, one didn't. I said, that's a train wreck.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other areas. Yep. I mean, you can, just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean they have the same view on church.
Yeah.
Their view may be, hey, I go to church 3 times a year.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like every day. So there's a lot of things you have to look for, a lot of in that. And
non-negotiables.
Yeah, non-negotiables.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, set your standards high and stick to them, you know? Don't say, oh, well, I'll compromise here and there. You're just going to pay for it in the long run.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if there's a little red flag, stop. Stop right then, as soon as there's a small red flag. And I also said in the last service that listen to the Holy Spirit. And I was dating someone in college, and it was when I was newly committed to the Lord, but I was really on fire for God. And this guy said he was a Christian too, so I'm like, it has to be right? You know, so, but I had such a restlessness in my spirit, and I just didn't feel right, and I'm like, what is going on? And then I read the verse that says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And I was like, oh my word, it's the Holy Spirit trying to tell me and warn me that this is not right. And so you have the Holy Spirit with you, listen to him, don't keep pushing it out of your mind if things come up and the Lord's trying to speak to you. It's not worth it. It's so worth waiting.
Yeah.
And also take your time. It takes time to really get to know someone.
Yep.
Know how they treat their friends and their family. Know what they're like under stress and under conflict.
Yep.
See how they react. And so that all that kind of thing takes time. And so, but keep your standards high and stick to them. And God will bring the right person.
Yeah, let me encourage single people. You're probably, if you go into the wrong marriage, you're happier single. You really are. So, like, you might be, I need a marriage partner. And the Lord's like, not the one. You're like, I'll just ignore the Lord for a while. And then he is trying to save you pain. I've found over the years, God tries to save us pain. Wisdom tries to save us pain all the time. There's a man that I know that I remember years and years ago used to come to our church, and they first started coming, and I just noticed he was so sporadic in coming, and And then actually he's devastated because his wife left him. She ran off with someone else in Texas. And honestly, now he comes on back and he is so broken, to be honest. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I felt like I could have helped you if you would have just committed to the house of God. And your wife would have committed to the house of God, but you were so sporadic that now you're bearing the fruit of that. And so more than anything else, let me tell you, if you're young, God wants to save you pain. Yes. As a parent, I want to save my children pain. And what I give them, the advice I give them, it may not be what they want to hear. Actually, it's rarely what they want to hear. And so God's trying to save you pain, and he's giving you advice, and he'll let you run in and smash your knee and bang your head. But he is trying to warn you at the same time. Does that make sense?
Can I just say, work on yourself. Yes. If you're single, just work on yourself. You know, healthy me equals healthy we in the long run. Because if you are desperate for a relationship, and you need it to feel secure, then you're not ready for it. Yeah. You really aren't. And just so give yourself time so you're strong enough in the love of God. You know your identity, who you are in Christ, and then you're ready for a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. Give that a hand. Amen. Last week we talked about this interesting thought I felt like the Lord gave me, feed the warrior, starve the weasel. And it's almost an insulting phrase because you're like, wait, I'm not a weasel. All of us have levels of selfishness in us. Yeah. How has that worked in you guys' lives? Or, you know, you got 8 kids who have all been married now. I think all of them are married now. Except, is everyone married? Yeah. Everyone's married now. Praise God.
We kick them out of the house.
Pretty early. Yeah.
I'm devastated when that time comes. I'm like, oh, the other day I was crying. Ben's going to be in high school in September, in college in 4 years. And I was like crying, doing the dishes. Anyway, I don't want to kick them out. I'm not like you, Eric. I want them to stay forever.
I'm kidding. We love.
I know. I'm just
our house is always full with somebody.
I love it. Yeah.
But I want to say, have you seen it go bad as you give singles advice? Because the truth is, it's so easy to give advice. It is hard to take it sometimes.
Yeah.
Have you seen it go bad? And I almost want to hear a story. If you gave some single people some advice, this looks like the wrong person. They did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up a heartbreak or a disaster.
We have seen that quite often. We've seen it because people didn't have those conversations. They didn't talk about children. They didn't talk about their view on the church. They didn't talk about tithing. Then they get married, they had these completely opposite polar viewpoints on things. And a lot of times it didn't work. The marriages fell apart. And then other times people have married what we would have said was God's best, but they're making it work, but it's a lot of effort, and it just wasn't God's best for them.
Yeah. One of the things you guys said in the last service was often people go to counseling way too late, or they come to you guys and they're already seeking a divorce.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so sad. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say, you have on your dashboard, you have a check engine light, right? So usually we wait. A lot of times we wait till that engine light comes on and we take it into the shop, and then all of a sudden it needs a new engine. You know, in reality, we've got to be way proactive in that in every aspect.
Yeah.
We've got to take that car into the shop. And therefore, the biggest thing we see that really destroys a marriage is just almost a religious spirit where they say, you know, I've got everything on, God's got everything on under control.
Right.
And you know, a lot of it is just pride.
Yeah.
And you're afraid to go to someone, and you've got to find someone that can champion you and can speak life into you. You can't do life alone. If you got a problem, go to someone, seek out, find. There's people that have been in the church, married 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Go to them. Don't go to your friend who just got married and ask them, hey, I've got a problem. You know, so fess up. Be honest, and don't let that pride hold you back from getting good resources, getting good counseling.
Yeah.
It's out there. There is no excuse for you to be a statistic.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strength asks for help. Strength asks for help, whether it's a book, a podcast, a counselor, someone in your Transform group, maybe not in a Transform group, get in a Transform group. Strength asks for help. Too many people allow pride to hinder them and blind them. Pride will turn an angel into a devil. And what will it do to you? It'll do the exact same thing. Man, I've been so blessed over the years. Interesting enough, Miriam and I have been doing a relationship series for years now. And I first dived into it. We've been pastoring 2 years. And I'm like, well, I'm a marriage expert already. No, I was married 2.5 years. And so I had to go read books. And so The Creative Marriage by Ed Young, His Needs, Her Needs. Just read a book, 7 minutes basically to change your marriage. And I read it for 7 minutes. It already did.
Day and night.
Any incredible. Last questions, honey? Anything you want to unpack there a little bit, or ask Eric and Joanne?
How would you protect your marriage continuously, right? There's so many things in culture. There's so many lies. Even in shows, we talk about this often. You know, sitcoms, they don't portray healthy, vibrant families. Anthony always says they always portray the dad or the husband as this weakling and the woman is in control, and that's not a really healthy picture. How do you protect the marriage?
I think we talked last session a little bit about friendship, and I know for a guy, you don't ever say that your best friend's a woman. I mean, it's not growing up in our society. It's not, you know, your best friend is a guy, but in reality, your spouse has to be the best friend. So in that best friend relationship, you can't keep secrets. Yes. You've got to protect one another. You also have to know the weaknesses each spouse has. And really, I mean, you got to fight for your marriage.
That's right.
Yeah,
just
to think it's going to be easy, it's not going to be easy. You got
to
fight.
Yeah, it has to be a priority. You can't take it for granted. You have to get, like Anthony said, you have to read books and podcasts and get teaching and go to marriage groups and conferences at least once a year. Do something for your marriage. And it's so important, or you're just going to be, oh, we fell out of love. Yeah, but that's because you're not intentionally putting it as a priority. One of the things for me that always kept me, I guess, keeping our marriage a priority and how I treated him was that it was just basically the fear of the Lord. Because if I would get really angry at him, or I wanted to say things or do things to him that I knew weren't right, it was like the Holy Spirit was like, you have to answer to God for how you're
so
treating him.
Yeah.
You know, and it just always kept me in check. Just that fear of God that he answers for himself, but I answer for myself.
That's
and I can't say,
so
oh, well, God, he did this.
Yeah.
No, I'm individually responsible just for my behavior.
Yes.
You know, and so there's no excuses. You can't blame the other one. You are responsible to God for your behavior.
Yes.
And that's
so
good, because we got to guard our words, what we say. I mean, there's a lot of things I know my wife feels about me that she doesn't say to me, which is good, but more so with me, I just, like you said, I realize that she's a daughter of God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an unbelievable blessing that she has on her, but she's my gift from God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've got to watch, you know, what I say. Because if I say things to her, I'm saying it to the Father.
Mm.
And, so it is a holy thing. That book, you would always say, marriage isn't to make you happy. It's to make you holy.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
it will if you're obedient.
Yeah. I remember about 7 or 8 years in, I had this dream. And in the dream, I stood up on a stage and there was no people there. But it was a leader in the body of Christ who's written books on marriages, and him and his wife in the dream said to me, you and your wife need to go away 2 to 3 times per year, just yourself. End of the dream. And you guys would all know who this guy is. And I remember about a year later, I was washing dishes, I was telling the Lord, I was praying about something. I said, Lord, I was praying about something. And he said, why do you call me Lord and do not do the things I say? Because a year later, I had not yet gone out kind of a night away with my wife. And since then, we've tried to endeavor each year, 2 to 3 times a year, we'd go away, just her and I, just maybe for one night or something like that, just so that we're feeding the marriage. And that's been a blessing. I'm not saying everyone has, that's not a law. That's just I felt like it was the Lord encouraging us on how to handle our marriage. And I find the greatest thing leading our church is really how I handle Miriam, how I handle my kids, they're the greatest lessons on how I handle the house of God.
Yeah.
They are the greatest lessons. So the marriage to me must be first. The home must be first. It's central to all we do. And then out of that flows healthy ministry, without question. So why don't we close our eyes? We run out of time, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want to invite some people watching online to take a quick moment and close your eyes. I want to take a moment and every single person within our auditorium right now, just ask for the Lord's help. We need His help. We really do. Holy Spirit, I ask even now that You would help single people, dating people, someone who got divorced, God, married people. Lord, more than anything else, we humble ourselves under Your hand, that Your hand might come upon us and You might bless us and You might give us the love and strength and wisdom and tenacity inside. I pray that vision would be born in the hearts of men and women here. I pray that new pictures of hope and forgiveness and good times would literally come on up on the inside, and some of the stuff that needs to get washed away. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would wash away some of the imaginations and memories and even experiences that have hindered marriages for too long. So let healing come across Your people now. Lord, our shepherd, guide us and lead us. Speak to us where we need it. Heal us where we need it. With eyes closed all across this place. Maybe you're in this place today and someone invited you, and maybe you saw it online and you came and you're not sure of your relationship with God. I want to tell you, my friend, that God made you, God loves you. He sent His Son for you to die a brutal death on a cross so that you would not be separated from Him. Sin kidnapped us, sin stole us. But God sent His Son, His warrior Son, into the world to rescue us. And He says, I died for you, I love you. He rose from the dead. He defeated sin, death, and hell. And in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say yes to Christ. Maybe you're in this place and you've never said yes. He's already said yes to you. You can turn your heart, you can turn your life over to Him. You can trust in Him. Maybe you're in this place today and you feel away from God, fell away from God. You can come back to God by His grace. So all across this place, we're going to pray a prayer as a church family. And a prayer is a prayer of dedication. It's a prayer of faith. Nothing so magical about the prayer, but Jesus, He inhabits prayer. So come on, let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank You.
Thank You.
For loving me so much.
For loving me so much.
That You died for me.
That You died for me.
I ask You.
I ask You.
To forgive my sin.
To forgive my sin.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my very best friend.
From this day on,
help me follow You
with all I am.
Fill me with Your Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
With eyes closed all across this place, just in an attitude of prayer right now. If you prayed that prayer today, would you quickly lift your hand all across this place? All across this place, lift your hand today. If you feel like you're coming back to God or saying yes to Jesus today, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Hands going up all across this place. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. If there's anyone else, just in a moment of admission and just saying, yeah, I need to do that today, you can put your hands down. Praise God. Father, thank You for every hand, every heart, every marriage, every home. But Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, would You seal that decision in their heart, that they would leave this place, Lord, just sensing that they are now close to You, they can know You, they can walk with You, they can fulfill their God-given promise and purpose in Jesus' name. Church Alive said, come on, can we give Eric and Joanne a huge hand? Can we give those people a hand who said yes to Jesus?